talented family. I think our young people that don't know Delray Meech School know all of these children very well, because they attend down there. They're very musically inclined, very talented, and we're certainly glad to have them with us.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to ask them to sing a song for us, if you will. Okay. And then I'll further introduce Brother Ferris.
Brother Moran, I've got the proper name for him. The Ferris Squeals.
Take note of that name, brother. Song we'll try to sing here this morning is "Our God Is Still Good." We really, really love this song, and so if you've never heard it, listen to the words. We'll try to project our voices the best we can. It's a beautiful, beautiful lyrics to this song.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. This young man that was singing, he led the singing for our association at Sulphur Fork this year. And he did a fine job. His song selections and everything were so good. And we appreciated his efforts down there. Brother Ferris, you're a Hoosier, right?
Originally, yes, sir.
Yeah, I knew his family in Indianapolis many years ago. And I don't know how long ago, but Upper Spotsylvania Mission. It was still a mission when you went over there, wasn't it? In Virginia, was without a preacher. And the Lord led Brother Ferris to go over there and work with that group of people. While he was there, the church was organized. It was, wasn't it? Okay, I thought I had it right. And I happened to be there that day when the church was organized. And he served the church for several years over there, and he did a good work. More recently, he was called to pastor Sulphur Fork Missionary Baptist Church down in the Bethpage community. And I don't know, how many years were you there?
Three and a half
years. All right, but he recently resigned, and so we're glad to have him here today to preach for us. We want you to pray for him. I know he desired and is interested in your prayers. He's been active in revival work since he's been down at Sulphur Fork, and I'm sure many of you have heard him in one of our sister churches. But he's here today, and let's hold him up, ask the Lord to bless him, give him liberty, and open our hearts that we might attend unto the word of God. Brother Ferris.
Well, good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord and to be with you all this morning. We have been blessed to be with you, and already today we had wonderful thoughts and things in Sunday school this morning. I appreciate Brother Lovell for a lot of those things that he brought out. It was needful. I appreciate the singing service and quartet. That's awesome that you're getting together and singing. I want to encourage you to keep doing that. Anything you can do to get together and try to worship and honor Christ is a good venture. And singing is a very important part of that, isn't it? It's something that even if we're not very good at it, you could still do. We could still sing here from our heart. It's important. So we appreciate all that's been said and done this morning, and really appreciate the opportunity to be here and to stand before you this morning. We are. I am down one. My oldest, he is went with Brother Trey Skinner out to West Tennessee. Brother Trey's got a preaching appointment and asked Parker to go with him, and I thought that's a good thing. Go with his good friends, a preacher brother, and so We are missing him this morning, but anyway, I'm thankful again to be here. We pray that the Lord would be honored and glorified. I hope that's our whole reason of being here, is to honor and glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we get going through the motions, right, and check the boxes, but we can't lose sight of that. If we lose sight of our purpose in this life of honor and glorifying the Lord, then we have missed so much. And so today, as we try to do that, you know, through song, through worship, through prayer, through singing, through testifying, and through preaching, whatever it may be, we just want to follow Him. And so, Brother Moran asked us to sing a song, and I knew exactly what song we needed to sing. I wasn't planning on singing this morning, but I knew what song that we needed to sing because it really goes along with the thought we have this morning, and that's about God being good. The psalmist says, and 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." David said that in 1 Chronicles. The psalmist also says this in Psalm 25, 8. "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way." I don't think it's any hidden fact that God is good. He's good all the time. He's good in the times that things are going well in life, but He's also good when times in your life when they are not good and well with you. And we got to hear a little bit of that this morning in Sunday school. God is good, but I'll tell you that there's a lot of debate in this wicked world about God being good. To those of us that have been saved by God's grace, we know He's good. And not just because the Bible says so, but because we've experienced Him and we know He is good. We've experienced His goodness. But there's a lot of people in this world that don't understand how God could be good when there's so much sin and evil that is happening in the world. But it's good to be reminded about how good God is, even for us, because we're around so much wickedness in this world. Back in the first chapter of Genesis, we read at the creation of this world and all of what God created. As the Lord started making all of these things, He said a lot of things were good. He says in that fourth verse that He saw the light and that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. God created the waters under the heaven to be gathered into one place, and the dry land appear. And God called the dry land earth, and He gathered together the waters, called the seas, and God saw that it was good. In verse 12, as He brought the earth forth with grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, and the seed in itself after its kind, and God saw that it was good. In the 18th verse, when God set the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and made the two great lights, in the 18th verse it says, "One to rule the day and the other the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good." Verse 21, as He created the whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. He made the beast of the earth after his kind, in verse 25, the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw it was good. And of course, we know that he made mankind, Adam and Eve. And we see that after he created all of these things, all of creation, and what a feat it was, he says in that last verse of the first chapter, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So God, he knows what is good, because he is good. And we understand that even when he created all of these amazing things, he said it was very good. You know, as he created all of these things, we understand that not only God is good, but he is the author of good, all things good, and that one of the characteristics or attributes of God is his goodness. And his goodness is just a state of being good. And so he created all of these things, and all of these things were put in place and in order, and everything was perfect. Everything was good and set as it should. But we know that as God gave Adam and Eve one law and one command not to do there in that garden, God gave them all things that they needed, and he provided for all of their needs. We do understand in reading the account here that Adam did partake of that fruit, didn't he? That the Lord told them not to. And we understand that it is at this time when he partook of that fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil that Adam and Eve became not good. Be simple here. They became not good when they partook of that forbidden fruit. They fell, right? We understand that this is when sin entered into the world. They were beguiled by that old serpent, and they became not good, and they realized that they were naked, and they tried hiding themselves from God, and it was not good. And they realized that immediately when they partook of this. They were perfect beings, and they were kicked out of that garden, and we know that sin entered into the world through and by Adam. And because of this, we understand is that we are all come from the seed of Adam. This was passed down to every human that has ever been born. You know, as sin has entered into this world, and it's a hard concept. If you think about this, that every single one of us is born in sin. We are born not good, if you will. There is a sin that is a part of all of us, and this is not a happy thing to talk about. The world in general does not like to talk about that we are sinful creatures, that we truly are not good inherently. A lot of ethics classes in college and things, they try to convince you otherwise, that we're inherently good and we learn to be bad. But that's not what Scripture teaches us. And that's, most importantly, not how we are in our nature, in our carnal nature. We are sinners in the sight of God. We understand the psalmist says this in the 14th chapter of Psalms, as well as Paul reiterates and quotes this in the 3rd chapter of Romans, that there is none that none doeth good, no, not one. And that is a hard thing to hear, right? You don't hear coming out of pulpits in churches across the world that you're not good. But it's true. But God is. And I'm thankful that that in this state that we have been created in, and when we understand that we are sinful creatures and that we can't do good in the sight of God, that's because we are not good, but I'm in the view of God. But I'm so thankful that when the Lord allows us and reveals in every one of our hearts that we are sinners and that we are become accountable to God of our own sin, that He lets us know this down in our hearts, and that we truly cannot do good. But I want you to understand, sinner friend today, if you are in this state, that there is a way for you to have His goodness. As a lost sinner, if you've not been saved by God's grace, it's hard to understand that God is good. It's hard to understand that God, who created all of these things, allow these things to happen, this evilness in this world, death and dying and suffering. It's hard as a lost person in this world to understand that God is so good. But that is in part because they've never experienced the goodness of God. They have not. You know, we could tell people in this world that God is good, but it's hard to believe that when you see all of these things happening in this world. But the psalmist says, "Oh, taste and see." Let's look at that. Psalm 34. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Verse 8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. You see, I'm thankful that the Lord has provided a way that you in your lost condition, and I, when I was in my lost condition, the Lord Jesus Christ made a way that we could truly taste and see that God is good. That you don't just have to believe here in your mind and be convinced by the preacher or by your family or by others that God is good. But you see, God Himself has provided a way that you can truly know that God is good and that His goodness can actually be imputed unto you. And this is a wonderful thing. I'm thankful that the psalmist here understood, as David said, taste and see that the Lord is good. He didn't just believe it. He actually knew the Lord is good. And He related it to a way that we could taste and that we could see. Now, I want you to understand today, you can't physically taste the Lord with your mouth, with your tongue. You can't physically see how good He is with these eyes naturally. But I'll tell you what, when you get to a place where you call out upon the name of Jesus to save your soul, and when He comes in and He changes your life, and He takes away that sinful nature of yours, and He imputes His goodness and His love into your heart, oh boy, you find out He's good. You found out how real good God is at that time when the Lord saves your soul. You experience His goodness and His grace, and it is a wonderful thing. You know, you can know that the Lord is good. That's what we tell people, isn't it? Don't just take my word for it. You can know for yourself how good God is. Jesus said when he was proving Himself while He walked on this earth, who He was. He was doing miracles and doing many different things that showed forth who He was. He did it in wonderful power and wonderful love and wonderful display of mercy everywhere He walked. Jesus preached and proclaimed to repent. And He said in the 6th chapter of John, and I want to turn there for just a minute, in the Gospel of John in the 6th chapter, He says it as clear as what the psalmist says at John chapter 6, verse 48. Jesus simply says, "I am that bread of life." And He was referencing, as that 47th verse, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me hath everlasting life." He says, "I am the bread of life." Now, He wasn't saying physically, He didn't want them to eat Him. That's silliness. But I'll tell you, there's some that believe that what Jesus was saying, that they thought they really wanted them to do that. Jesus was speaking of a spiritual nature. He says, "I am the bread of life." And then in that next chapter, chapter 7, He goes on and He makes things make sense to us. As he says in John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood, cried, saying, and he was preaching. It says he was crying. He was with emphasis saying that if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. See, Jesus himself even said that you can experience me. You could experience my love and my goodness experientially. So, sinner friend, and this is what we get to tell the world, that you may not believe God is good, but you're not going to believe it. Sinner friend, today, if you are lost here and in your sin and the Lord has revealed to you that you are separated from God, you can't do good in God's sight. But I'll tell you, when He draws you to Him, when you repent of your sin, He saves your soul, you will absolutely know that God is good. And you won't have to question it anymore. You won't have to try to think up here, well, I've been told God is good all my life. But boy, when you experience Him, you know it yourself. And it's good. God is so good today. Jesus told them, in other words, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? You told Nicodemus that ye must be born again. That is the only way. Listen, I'm thankful that Jesus made a way, aren't you? That we don't have to believe. We don't have to go blindly into this darkness of this world and follow some rabbi or priest or some religion out of blind faith. See, God is real and He wants to reveal Himself to you today. But the real question is, where do you stand with God? Do you really want His goodness? Do you want to experience God? I'm telling you today that God is good and He is real and He will reveal Himself to you if you seek Him. You've got to be born again. That's what He told Nicodemus. And this is an absolute change of that badness, if you will, that's inside. That corruptness, that sinful nature that the Lord reveals unto you that you have offended Him. That you are a sinner in His sight. And it's uncomfortable. It is. And those of you who have been saved, you remember what it felt like being separated from God. That uncomfortable feeling. You know, God was essentially telling you, you're not good in His sight. And you might go through all the religious jargon and do all the religious acts. And still, that inside being still corrupt as can be. The Pharisees tried to do that. They look good on the outside. They try to present themselves as good people and do many good things. Matter of fact, they try to say and tell Jesus that they're doing and upholding all the things of the law. I can't imagine trying to tell Jesus, the Savior, God in the flesh, all about what He doesn't know about. But they were so prideful about doing religious works, and they failed to taste and see that God was truly good. That God was truly in front of them. And I'll tell you, when the Lord saves your soul, He gives you of His Spirit. And when He gives you of His Spirit, when you become born again of Christ, that means born above, made brand new, He puts within you peace, love, joy. Right? We call these fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5 tells us all these fruits that come from salvation. And it's good. And I want, and this is really neat. And maybe I'm pretty simple. I get excitement out of some of the smallest things reading about the Lord. A lot of the things that get attention with the fruit of the Spirit is peace, love, joy, and those are very important and wonderful things. One day, it came out to me that one of the fruits of the Spirit is goodness. I thought, well, I mean, it makes sense, but sometimes when the Lord shows you things in Scripture that make it alive to you, it's good. Goodness is one of the fruits of the Spirit, which is why
True goodness in the sight of God cannot come from us when we are lost and in our sin. True goodness in the sight of God has to be imputed to us through His Spirit. So, sinner friend, listen, we want you to taste and see today. I want you to know right now, if the Lord is dealing, tugging your heart, we want to encourage you to seek the Lord. Because all the good things that you think you're doing in your life is not going to get you to heaven. It's not going to get you any close to the Lord. There's a lot of people out in this world who believe in doing good things for people. And they believe. I've talked to so many people. If you ask them, you know, if they're going to go to heaven, and a lot of times they'll say, well, I hope my good outweighs my bad. Matter of fact, a lot of religions are based on that. That they're it's based on good deeds, that if their goods outweigh their bad, they hope they're going to make it to heaven. I'm telling you, what a sad life that is to live. And I want you to know today, sinner friend, that you don't have to live that way. It's not going to do any good for you being in that condition. Listen, if you are broken, He wants to fix you. He wants to make you brand new, and He wants to show you and give you His goodness. I'm thankful for the goodness of God today. As we sung that song, and I know this to be real and true, a lot of times we tend to praise the Lord for His goodness when our life is going really well, don't we? It's so easy to praise and thank the Lord when we're up on that mountain. It's so easy. It's so, well, I'll say more natural because it is, because His Spirit resides within you and I, those who have been saved by God's grace. It's easy to praise Him when things are going good. You know, this same God that we know and we have experienced, we have tasted and seen, is the same good God when we're at the lowest and darkest point of our lives. I'm so thankful that even though we serve a great and wonderful God, when we go through trials, when we're tempted, when we're going through things in life that are hard to go through, and it doesn't make sense, sometimes the Lord allows us to be in those places to what? Refine us, to make us a sharper, and to make us grow in our faith. Sometimes it is that way, and we still need to see when we're at the lowest of low to praise Him in those hardest of times. To still identify Him as being good, even though we are undeserving of His goodness, even though it feels like we are so far from God. As mentioned in Sunday school, I appreciate what was said. When we get far from the Lord, it seems like we're walking in some darkness. Sometimes it's like one thing after another that hits us. But God is still good, even if you don't see it. And it is in those times we need to really reach for the Lord and call upon Him to help us. To read Scripture, because the Word is true. So I want to talk about this a little bit, right? After He saves us, that's the beginning of our walk with God, isn't it? I mean, the beginning, right? The Scripture says that we become babes in Christ. And if you know anything about babies, it takes a while for them to grow, doesn't it? It sure does. Though time seems to fly by, I see my four children, and it's amazing. But as a newborn babe in Christ, when the Lord saves you, it doesn't matter what age you are here on this earth, whatever age it is that He saves you, you become a babe in Christ, right? And sometimes it takes a while to walk with the Lord, to start to, you know, to hear His voice, right? As Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful relationship to be led by the great shepherd. David, or the psalmist, says in Psalm 37, 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You know, He walks with us, and He orders our steps. Mind you, he says, the steps of a good man. That could only be by the righteousness and imputed righteousness of Christ in us. There's nothing still good about this old guy here. If there's any good that comes out of me, I will tell you absolutely that it is because of the love of Christ that lies in here. That is it. David acknowledged that.
that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I'm thankful for that today. The last verse of Psalm 23, I'm sure many of you have memorized that psalm, famous psalm. What does that last verse say? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, there's promises that are lended to us that have been saved by God's grace. His goodness will follow us and His mercy all the days of our life. But I'll tell you, I want to give us a little warning as well today. As we see the state and condition of a lot of God's people and His churches and the state of our world, we have to be careful, brothers and sisters. We've got to be careful for the things that seem to be good according to the world, right? I think there's some difference in our society and whatever society we grow up in the world. The world sees a set of good that doesn't always align up with what God says is good. Right? There's a lot of good that could be done from the outward appearance that says, oh man, they're doing a lot of good things. This person's doing good. They're doing good and doing this or that. But it doesn't always align with what the Word of God says, what His Spirit is leading and guiding. And we have to be careful of that because, boy, we get sucked up into this world thinking we're doing good. It's tough because the draws of our society and of this world likes to suck us in. I think there's beautiful, perfect evidence for all of this in Scripture. You know, when we look back at the garden, you know what? As we look at Eve, you know, she saw some good things. In the thing that God said would kill her and her husband. I want you to think about that for a minute. They were in that garden. They had all things taken care of for them. All of their needs were met. They were in perfect harmony with their Creator. They walked with God. God told them, don't partake of this. We know that old serpent, he went and beguiled Eve and got her mind thinking. And you know what she did, as we read in Scripture, that she saw that fruit and saw some good things. Genesis 2:9, it tells us that all the trees were pleasant to the sight and good for food. Again, they had no need. They had everything that they had covered by the Lord. But Genesis 3:6 tells us that tree and that fruit thereof, as Eve started to look at that, she saw that it was good for food and pleasant to the eye and to make one wise. So we have to be careful about the things that we go through in this world, the things that we might see in this world that appear to be good. But if it goes against what Scripture tells us and what God allows, we have to put that in the proper perspective. See, the problem here is that it didn't matter how good the tree looked to Eve. What mattered is what God said about it. You understand that? Does that make sense? It doesn't matter how good it looked to Eve, that fruit. What truly mattered is what God said about that fruit. And she disobeyed, and Adam disobeyed. They did it willingly. And listen, you and I are not above reproach here. You know, though the Lord saved, if He has saved you, He has made and sealed completely our home in heaven. When I die, I have no question where I'm headed.
I'm going to see Him for all that He is. But I'll tell you, walking here on this earth, as we walk and as our steps are ordered by the Lord, as we try to get close to Him, we have got to wear our spiritual closeness with God. And we have to be able to identify. You know, the world says something's good. We need to fact check it. There's a lot of fact checking going on right now, isn't there? There's a lot of fact checkers out there that seem to know the facts that really don't know, I don't think, much of anything. But we have the Word of God as our ultimate fact checker. We have the Spirit of God that directs our hearts in the Word to be able to decipher what truly is good and what isn't. And we have to be careful. Our culture tells us, everybody, that you have the right to deem what is good. They do. That's what this world tells us. It is very subjective. If it is fun, it must be good. If it is pleasurable, it must be good. Right? If it doesn't hurt anybody, it must be good. I think the better question is, what if it hurts the Lord? What if it grieves the Lord about the things that we are involved in that seemingly tend to be good? Right? We have to differentiate spiritually and in the Word of God. Some of the things that we get into could pull us away from truly worshiping the Lord. What if what we're doing, the world tells us is good, but yet we don't spiritually have our spiritual eyes on and see that maybe what we're doing and getting involved in this world is creating idols in our hearts that are above the Lord. Right? Sometimes we make work our idol. Sometimes, fill in the blank. Sometimes we make money in the worship of money. We don't even realize it because society says it's good. Oh, work all the hours you can to store up all the money you can. Listen, we have to be careful and have our spiritual eyes and be close to the Lord. Say, Lord, is this what I need to be doing with my life? And I'll tell you, if you get into the Word of God and His Spirit and you pray and you ask the Lord for help, He will show you exactly what you need to see. If you're willing and obedient to forsake those things, you see, that it comes with a willing heart. If we go to the Lord with a wall built up and say, Lord, I really want to know, but He knows you really don't, it ain't going to work. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, this life is too short. We can't be going about our life playing games and doing what we want to do in this world. Listen, it is time for us to truly get close to the Lord. It is time for His people to get in His goodness and to get close to Him and to love Him for all He is. Because none of us are promised another day. We preach that from the pulpit all the time. We amen it. But yet, are we getting involved with things that may appear to be good, but that are taking us away from the worship of the Lord out in this world? You know, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I mean, if we're involved in things that are taking us away from the assembling ourselves together, listen, it may be good. And we're good at justifying everything, aren't we? I can say I'm pretty good at justifying anything. You could justify anything you want to justify. Even a born-again Christian, you're going to justify anything you want to if it's all selfish motives. But I'll tell you what, when we put those things aside and we say, Lord, I want what You want in my life, and you read for the Scriptures for all that they are, that it is truly true of what you read, listen, He'll open your heart up and you'll get more love with Him. And you'll want to do and be there right with Him. You'll want to be with your church family. Because listen, we all go through hard times and trials in our life. But listen, don't run away from the church. Run to the church. Listen, sometimes we get hardened even within the church. Sometimes we get where we don't want to forgive our brothers and sisters. But listen, God is still good and He doesn't want any of that. He wants us to forgive each other, to love each other, and not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together.
It's a wonderful thing to get together with brothers and sisters in the Lord. I enjoy being here this morning. Why? It's because I know the people here in this church have the same thing I've got. And I want to be around people that have the same thing I've got. That have the great love of Christ within them. That want to follow Him and love Him for all that He is. And I'll tell you, listen, if you want to get humbled really quick, it's having a true understanding of knowing that really the only person on heaven or earth that could deem anything good is the Lord. And when you have that perspective and you go and ask the Lord about that, He will humble you very quickly. I don't want to be caught up in this world anymore. I don't want to be idle in my worship and serving of the Lord anymore. He's too good. He's done too much for me in my life, hasn't He for you? I mean, at the very minimum, Him saving your soul, He did something for you that you couldn't do. He provided a way for you to know Him, to have a relationship with Him. And we forsake that relationship so much, but boy, if all He did was to save your soul, hallelujah, amen. But He wants more from us. But He wants to show Himself more to us too. In walking in Christ and truly getting close to Him, He reveals His goodness to us more and more and more as we get close with Him. And it's so good to walk in the Lord. I want to encourage you today that only God could deem what is good. And this old adversary is out here. Satan's walking to and fro, but he's got all of his army out here, the spiritual darkness, that are seeking to destroy every one of you here today. And it's real. I'm telling you what, that adversary is real, and he is raging. He is seeking to draw your influence away from your love to Christ, from your love for the church, everything. He wants to pull you away from your love from your brothers and your sisters. He'll do any way possible to make that happen. But you know what's beautiful? We serve one that's higher than Him. We serve a God who is able to, we have a responsibility to shun those things. When they start to creep in, those evil thoughts, those things that pull us away from worshiping the Lord, from doing what God wants us to do in life, we have the ability to say, stop. And stay and pray and say, Lord, help me. And get in His Word and He'll reveal to you exactly what needs to be done. It's a beautiful thing because God is good. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. God is so good today. Paul said, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Right? There's a lot of things that we could do that are good, but it may not be expedient for us. It may not be edifying to the Lord. There's just some things that we shouldn't be getting into that the world deems good, but yet it's pulling us apart. God wants good for you in your life. Do you believe that? I do. He didn't give His Son for nothing. He gave His best. And He wants our relationship to be that way as well. So what is good? Being in the center of God's will is good. Being in the center of God's will. We're going to try to wrap up here. Famous last words from a preacher. Romans 12. I feel like the Lord has had me wear out these few scriptures past several months, and but I love them. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, listen, that ye may prove, that means discern, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Man. Those are some good verses to chew on. I want what the Lord wants, don't you? I truly want what the Lord wants, but that comes at a price. That comes at a price sometimes more than what we want to pay. But there is no greater paymaster than our Lord and Savior. When you desire His will in your life, and to find out what that good is, and He will pay more than any vain desire that we have in this world, that the world said is good. He's good in the bad, and He's good in the good. Finally, 2 Thessalonians, Paul writing to the church here at Thessalonica, maybe the last couple of verses, I believe. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I love this. I love reading Paul's letters. He has such a paternal tone to a lot of his writing. Especially, of course, to Timothy, Titus. But this is what he says. In verse 11, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness in the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul desired of them that the Lord would count them worthy of His calling. We have a calling. And to count them worthy, or to fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. Might get a song here together. I want to fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness in my life. As a born-again Christian, there is that desire there. But it does take submission. It takes yielding to His Spirit. It takes dedication to Him. And I most certainly want Jesus glorified in me and I in Him. Right? I want people to see Jesus in me. That's how the world knows that we're different. Right? It's not good to leave what Christ has here and just keep it closed up in a box. But as Jesus taught His early disciples there in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, as He tells them to let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All of those comes out, His goodness, His love, His mercy. I want the Lord to be glorified in me, and me in Him, all the days of my life. May we try to seek His will, that we might draw closer to Christ.
As we stand, turn to number 245, number 245. God is so good, and we'll add the third verse. 245 in the mall.